From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
President Donald Trump signed legislation Tuesday to punish China for what he called oppressive acts in Hong Kong, along with an executive order ending all preferential treatment for the territory, including special trade arrangements. Trump announced the signing of the Hong Kong Autonomy Act during a press conference in the Rose Garden Tuesday, which was joined by a new executive order stripping Hong Kong of its special status. The president said this would mean one less competitor for the U.S. He used much of his televised address to attack his rival in November's election, former Vice President Joe Biden, claiming that he and former President Barack Obama allowed Beijing to take advantage of the U.S. We bring you as much of that press conference as time will allow.
Thank you very much, everybody. Please. Hope it's not too hot, but it's pretty warm. Thank you. So, we've had a big day in the stock market. Things are coming back, and they're coming back very rapidly, a lot sooner than people thought. People are feeling good about our country. People are feeling good about therapeutics and possible vaccines. But we're going to go over quite a bit, and maybe at the end we'll take some questions if we have time. It's not too hot. Today I signed legislation and an executive order to hold China accountable for its oppressive actions against the people of Hong Kong. The Hong Kong Autonomy Act, which I signed this afternoon, passed unanimously through Congress. This law gives my administration powerful new tools to hold responsible the individuals and the entities involved in extinguishing Hong Kong's freedom. We've all watched what happened. Not a good situation. Their freedom's been taken away, their rights have been taken away, and with it goes Hong Kong, in my opinion, because it will no longer be able to compete with free markets. A lot of people will be leaving Hong Kong, I suspect. And we're going to do a lot more business because of it, because we just lost one competitor. It's the way it is. We lost a very, very serious competitor, a competitor that we incentivized to take a lot of business and do well. And we gave them a lot of business by doing what we did. We gave them things that nobody else had the right to do, and that gave them a big edge over other markets. And because of that edge, they've done really historic business, tremendous business, far bigger than anybody would have thought years ago when we did this gift. It was really a gift to freedom. Today, I also signed an executive order ending U.S. preferential treatment for Hong Kong. Hong Kong will now be treated the same as mainland China. No special privileges, no special economic treatment, and no export of sensitive technologies. In addition to that, as you know, we're placing massive tariffs and have placed very large tariffs on China. First time that's ever happened to China. Billions of dollars have been paid to the United States, of which I've given quite a bit to the farmers and ranchers of our country because they were targeted. And that's been going on for 3 years. First time anybody's ever done anything like that. And prior to the plague pouring in from China, they were having the worst year, as you know, in 67 years. And I don't want them to have a bad year. I want them to have a good year. But they were taking advantage of the United States for many, many years. And that's stopping. But then the virus came in, and the world is a different place, but we're now getting back, and one of the reasons the market's doing so, it's almost at the point that it was at prior to the plague. Almost. We're getting very close. It's a great thing. It's an amazing thing what our people have done and what they've endured. No administration has been tougher on China than this administration. We imposed historic tariffs. We stood up to China's intellectual property theft at a level that nobody's ever come close. We confronted untrustworthy Chinese technology and telecom providers. We convinced many countries, and I did this myself for the most part, not to use Huawei. because we think it's an unsafe security risk. It's a big security risk. I talked many countries out of using it. If they want to do business with us, they can't use it. Just today, I believe that UK announced that they're not going to be using it. And that was up in the air for a long time, but they've decided. And you look at Italy, you look at many other countries. We withdrew from the Chinese-dominated WHO, and we fully rebuilt the United States military, the WHO, World Health Organization. We were paying close to $500 million a year. China was paying $39 million a year. And China had too much say. They worked it very hard, which is a bad thing done by our past administrations. But we were tough, and we were saying, I was asking, I said, why are we paying so much more than China? China has 1.4 billion people. We have 325, probably 325 million approximately. Nobody can give the exact count. We're trying to get an exact count, but you have, over the years, many illegals who have come into the country, so it depends on how you want to count it. But you could say 325 to 350 million people as opposed to 1.4 billion people. And the world trade is terrible. That deal is terrible. The world health is a terrible deal. We've been very tough on the World Trade Organization, and we've been, I guess, as tough as you can get on world health. We withdrew our money. We told them we're getting out. Doesn't mean that someday we won't go back in. Maybe we will when it's correctly run. But they made a lot of bad predictions, and they said a lot of bad things about what to do and how to do it, and they turned out to be wrong. And they were really a puppet of China. And make no mistake, we hold China fully responsible for concealing the virus and unleashing it upon the world. They could have stopped it. They should have stopped it. Would have been very easy to do at the source when it happened. In contrast, Joe Biden's entire career has been a gift to the Chinese Communist Party and to the calamity of errors that they've made. They made so many errors, and it's been devastating for the American worker. China has taken out hundreds of billions of dollars a year from our country, and we rebuilt China. I give them all the credit in the world. I don't give the credit for the people that used to stand here, because they allowed this to happen, where hundreds of billions of dollars were taken out of the United States Treasury in order to rebuild China. There's no company and no country in the world, no country in the world has ever ripped off the United States like the incredible job that they did on this country and the people that ran it. Possibly it's one of the reasons, certainly it's one of the very big reasons, trade and things related to trade, that I got elected in the first place. I've been talking about it for a long time, along with many other subjects, frankly. Joe Biden supported China's entry into the World Trade Organization, one of the greatest geopolitical and economic disasters in world history. If you look at China, you look at the moment they joined the world trade, they were flatlining for years and years and years and decades. And then all of a sudden they joined the World Trade Organization and they went like a rocket ship. They were given all sorts of advantages. They were considered a developing country. As a developing country, they got tremendous advantages over the United States and other countries. And they took advantage of those advantages and then some. Biden personally led the effort to give China permanent most favored nation status, which is a tremendous advantage for a country to have. Few countries have it, but the United States doesn't have it. Never did, probably never even asked for it, because they didn't know what they were doing. As Vice President, Biden was a leading advocate of the Paris Climate Accord, which was unbelievably expensive to our country, would have crushed American manufacturers while allowing China to pollute the atmosphere with impunity. Yet one more gift from Biden to the Chinese Communist Party. They took all of the advantage away from us. They took everything away. They don't have oil. We would have had to close up tremendous amounts of our energy to qualify eventually, not too far into the future. We would have had to do things that would have been unbelievably destructive to our country, including the possible closing of 25% of our businesses. Think of that. And it was going to cost us hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars for the privilege of being involved in the Paris Climate Accord. And you just have to look at what took place this year in Paris, in France, where money was being sent to countries all over the world, and the people of France didn't want to take it. And they didn't, and they did a lot of rioting. They had their taxes raised. We would have had to raise our taxes. And it was a disaster. I've been given a lot of credit for what I did there. It took a certain amount of courage, I guess, because it sounds so nice, the Paris Climate Accord. But it wasn't good for us at all. America lost nearly 10,000 factories while Joe Biden was vice president. Think of that, 10,000 factories. He wrote something today, and he made a statement today that I wrote down, pretty accurate. So Biden was here for 47 years, 8 years, the last 8 years, not long ago, as vice president. He said, 1 in 5 miles of our highways are still in poor condition. Well, we're doing a good job on highways, but why didn't he fix them 3 years ago? Why didn't he fix them? Tens of thousands of bridges are in disrepair and on the verge of collapse. Well, it's probably not a right number, but we have bridges that should have been fixed. Why didn't he fix them? He was there for 8 years with President Obama. Why didn't they fix them? Tens of thousands of bridges. This is what he wrote. High-speed broadband. We want high-speed broadband. Well, why didn't he get it? 3 years ago is not a long time. And he didn't do any of the things, but now he says he's going to be president. As president, he's going to do all the things that he didn't do. He never did anything except make very bad decisions, especially on foreign policy. So Joe Biden and President Obama freely allowed China to pillage our factories, plunder our communities, and steal our most precious secrets. And I've stopped it largely, but I've stopped it. And it wasn't easy, because you talk about a certain power of the telephone and the calls, where they would call and say, no, we don't want to do that. And other countries would call on behalf of China. But I did it. I did what has to be done. And you just take a look at what's gone on and take a look at the kind of at the numbers where they devalued their currency in order to pay the tariffs. Now the Democrat Party is calling for defunding of our military. Think of that, defunding. They want to defund our military when China is building a massive military. They're building a massive military, and Biden wants to defund our military. And the world needs American strength right now more than ever, and we've got it. We've got now, soon, as all this equipment comes in, all made in the USA, we've got the newest, most incredible weapons anywhere in the world. We have the best tanks, the best ships, the best missiles, rockets. We have the best of everything. We have the best fighter jets, the F-35, the F-18. All of these assets are being built. Tankers, incredible tankers, bombers. Hope we don't have to use them. But we have the most incredible military. When I came in, the military was totally depleted. It was at a level that was just absolutely incredible. You know the statements. I made the statements before. I told you what generals told me about our military. And I'll make them again. If somebody needs them, we'll give them to you. Very well documented. As Vice President, Biden opposed tariffs. And he was standing up for China. He didn't want to do anything to disrupt the relationship with China, even though China was taking us to the cleaners. He opposed my very strict travel ban on Chinese nationals to stop the spread of the China virus. He was totally against it. Xenophobic, he called me. Xenophobic. A month later, he admitted I was right. we would have had thousands of people additionally die if we let people come in from heavily infected China. But we stopped it. We did a travel ban in January. Nancy Pelosi was dancing in the streets of Chinatown in San Francisco a month later, and even later than that. And others, too. They all thought what I did was a terrible mistake. We would have lost. In fact, Dr. Fauci said he would have lost thousands of additional people if President Trump had to do that. And I was a crowd of one, because even experts didn't want to do it. They thought it was a mistake. And then I did Europe when I started seeing what was going on in Italy and Spain and France and other countries in Europe. I did a ban on people coming in from Europe. That would have been disastrous for our country also. And we saved tens of thousands of lives, but we actually saved millions of lives by closing. By closing up, we saved millions, potentially millions of lives. Could be a number that we're actually working on, but it could be 2 to 3 million lives. So we're at 135,000, which is terrible. One is too much. But we would have had millions of people dead from this curse that came at us. But we did what we had to do, and now we'll put out the flames as it happens. We have to get the schools open. We have to get everything open. A lot of people don't want to do that for political reasons, not for other reasons. But if we had listened to Joe Biden, hundreds of thousands of additional lives would have been lost. And if you look at the job he did on swine flu, I looked at a poll. They have polls on everything nowadays. And they got very bad marks on the job they did on the swine flu, H1N1. He calls it N1H1. H1N1 got very poor marks from Gallup on the job they did on swine flu. And they stopped very early on testing. They totally stopped it. They just said stop. And frankly, if we didn't test, you wouldn't have all the headlines because we're showing cases. Now, we have just about the lowest mortality rate. But if we did, think of this, if we didn't do testing, instead of testing over 40 million people, if we did half the testing, we'd have half the cases. If we did another, you cut that in half, we'd have yet again half of that. But the headlines are always testing. Now, the testing is a good thing, but at the same time, it's fodder for the fake news to report cases. So we're doing 40 million plus, going to be very close to 45 million people. And when I turn on the news, I see cases, cases, cases. They don't talk about deaths being cut down to a level that actually tenfold they use. I got that from one of the very respected media outlets. Tenfold, cut tenfold deaths, but they don't talk about that. They talk about cases, and the cases are created because of the fact that we do tremendous testing. We have the best testing in the world. We now make ventilators for the world. We had very few ventilators. There wasn't one person in any hospital anywhere in this country that needed a ventilator that didn't get it. And that was because we mobilized to a level, using the Purchasing Act in some cases, we mobilized to a level that nobody thought possible. Nothing's happened like that since World War II. Our task force has done a great job. Mike Pence works so hard, it gets so little credit. Sad to see that, actually. But he works so hard, gets so little credit. The governors would tell us, we'd be on the phone with 50 different governors, they'd all tell us, what a great job, great job. And then they'll go to the media and say, well, they didn't do such a good job. Well, we did a great job. We made a lot of governors look fantastic. We did in New York. What we did in New York was one of the most incredible things. 2,800 bed in Javits Center, but the governor used very few of them, unfortunately. Then we moved in a great hospital ship, one of our two great. We moved one also to Los Angeles. And we could have used that for our senior citizens. We could have used it for other people. They could have used it instead of sending our seniors back into nursing homes that were infected, where you lost thousands of people. Thousands of people in New York died because of poor management by the governor. And it's a very sad thing to see, and very sad to watch, and very sad to look at those statistics. But we have an incredible Javits Center that we built with thousands of beds. I think it was 2,800. all ready to go. And they could have sent people there, or they could have sent senior citizens there instead of sending them into the nursing homes. And after all of that work and getting it done, the Army Corps of Engineers, I mean, the job they did was incredible. They built it in a matter of days. When it was all completed, FEMA, everybody was there, doctors. We ended up getting doctors. They said, we can't man it. I said, so we'll man it and woman it. And that's what we did. We brought in doctors, nurses, everything. We're all set. We said, where are the people? They didn't send the people. Very few people came in. They could have sent them into the Javits Center. They could have sent them to the hospital ship, which was virtually unused. But we were there. By contrast, my administration acted very early to ban travel from China, from Europe, saving all of these lives. Incredible. And I want everyone to know, I want every citizen to know that we're using the full power of the federal government to fight the China virus and to keep our people safe. Through Operation Warp Speed, we will deliver a vaccine in record-breaking time. We're doing very well on the vaccines. We have many, many different vaccines being studied right now, many of which are looking really good. And we're ready to...
While we're listening to President Trump in the Rose Garden, another breaking news story of the moment. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been hospitalized. We're hearing that from the Supreme Court at Johns Hopkins University up in Baltimore. We understand she had symptoms of fever and chills, was checked out at a local hospital and sent up to Johns Hopkins. The hope is after several days of intravenous antibiotics that she'll be feeling much better and released. But breaking news of the moment, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the hospital at Johns Hopkins University. Let's go back to the president in the Rose Garden.
Scientific genius to kill the virus. Joe Biden didn't just side with China on the virus. He did. He called me again. Xenophobic. That's what he said. You all heard it many times. He described the rise of China as, quote, a very positive development. Not a positive development. Not for us, it's not. He said that the idea that China is our competition is really bizarre. He's really bizarre. He said, China's not a problem. No. Nobody's ripped us off more than China over the last 25, 30 years. Nobody close. And he says, China's not a problem. Now he takes it all back now. Now he wants to be Mr. Tough Guy. But for years, 47 years, he never came out against China, never said anything bad, just the opposite. His son walked out with $1.5 billion of money to invest, where he'll make hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars a year. Walked out with $1.5 billion. I asked one of the biggest people on Wall Street, maybe the biggest, is that possible? He said, no. He's never seen it. They don't do that. But Hunter, where's Hunter? Where is Hunter, by the way? Hunter Biden walked out with $1.5 billion. In Ukraine, he got $83,000 a month and I guess an upfront payment of $3 million. So he went from not having a job to getting $83,000 a month with a lot of money paid up front to work for Burisma. And you all know about Burisma. But nothing happens, nobody cares. And he was unemployed, as you know. He was unfortunately forced to leave the military. He was forced to leave. Didn't have a job, and all of a sudden he's making a fortune. But nobody talks about that. Indeed, Biden expressed more fawning praise about China on an ordinary day than about America. On the 4th of July, the last Independence Day, Biden attacked the United States and said we had, quote, never lived up to the ideals of our fathers, our forefathers, or our founding fathers, those founding ideals. And yet he enthusiastically stated that China is a great nation and we should hope for its continued expansion. Well, we all wish well to China, but what China's unleashed on the world, it's hard to even fathom. I see people now, friends of mine, they walk up, they want to say hello, and they have to keep their distance, and they're all covered up like you're all covered up with face masks. It's a different world, but we're coming out on top. Biden sides with China over America time and time again. And he said on the 4th of July, American history is no fairy tale, and yet blindly celebrates China, saying few nations in history have come so far, so fast. He's so proud of them. He's so proud of them. Now Joe Biden is pushing a platform that would demolish the U.S. economy, totally demolish it. So we built the greatest economy in the history of our country, greatest in the history of the world. That was a few months ago. Best unemployment numbers ever. Best for African American, Asian American, Hispanic American. Best for women, best for everybody. Best for young people that didn't have a high school diploma, didn't have a college diploma. They had a diploma, they were really in good shape. We built the greatest ever. Stock market highest ever in history. We had 143 days of all-time stock market highs in just less than 3.5 years. And we had to close it down because we did the right thing by doing that. As I said, we saved millions of lives. But China was saying, this is incredible what's going on. China was for the first time respecting the United States. And now they want to do something that's much different, Joe Biden. So I've watched this, and I've watched it with great interest. We're building our economy again. I guess the stock market went up almost 500 points today, or something thereabouts. You'll check. But it was up a lot when I left. And our economy is coming back. We're almost at a level where, even though it's long before the very important, maybe the most important ever, election of November 3rd. Well, long before that, but we're close to record stock markets again, and NASDAQ hit an all-time high for the 16th time. Think of that, for the 16th time over the last month or so, for the 16th time. So one of our markets already hit an all-time high. Today, Joe Biden gave a speech in which he said that the core of his economic agenda is a hard left crusade against American energy. He wants to kill American energy. He wants to re-enter the unfair, one-sided Paris Climate Accord, which will destroy us, at the expense of many other nations who benefit. It was actually drawn, in my opinion, to take advantage of the United States, just like so many other deals are done to take advantage of the fools running the United States. But this would do nothing for the environment, but would cripple American industry while greatly helping China. He wants to impose massive energy taxes and job-crushing mandates to eliminate carbon from the United States economy. Let him define the word carbon, because he won't be able to. Obliterating American oil, clean coal, natural gas, and the natural energy resources that supply countless American jobs. Joe Biden put AOC, a young woman, not talented in many ways, in charge of his energy plan and the environment, essentially. Her and Bernie Sanders, who ran a lot of times for president, never made it. Good base, but that's about it. In other words, he wants to impose the Green New Deal on our country. When I first saw the Green New Deal, I thought it was a joke. I said, this will never go anywhere. Now they're trying to impose it. This will destroy our country and make us non-competitive with other countries. Don't forget, we're in competition with China and with many other countries throughout the world. We're in tremendous economic competition, including Europe, which has never treated us well. The European Union was formed in order to take advantage of the United States. They formed, and they take advantage of the United States. And I know that. They know I know that. But other presidents had no idea.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.